Welcome to Hello Universe, a podcast about spirituality in our everyday lives. We're your co-hosts, Kylie and Eva.
Hi, it's Kylie.
And I'm Eva.
Welcome back to Hello Universe.
And today it's another Kylie and Eva episode. Which means y'all are in for a treat, if I do say so myself.
I know. I want to say these are our favorite, but I say that about literally every episode that we record. I don't know if anyone's caught on yet, but it's always my favorite. It's like the other day, my son made a friend at the ice cream parlor, and the kid was like, my favorite ice cream is chocolate chip. And my son was like, my favorite ice cream is chocolate chip. I was like, you've never had chocolate chip ice cream before.
Yeah,
I didn't rat him out in front of his new friends. Guys.
Yeah,
I let him have his moment.
Yeah, but isn't that like the joy? Like, that's how you know you're onto something good, because you have the joy of a kid who's like seeing something for the first time. Like, everything's just the best. Like,
I know.
I was hanging out with Adam's sister or stepsisters, and they have a bunch of kids, and they're opening. It was a birthday. They're opening gifts, and the kid was just so excited about the box. He was just like, box. You know, he was like so excited about the cardboard box, and I was like, that's how I feel about this podcast. Every episode, I could be excited about the cardboard box version.
Yes.
If that makes sense. I don't know if that analogy carries
that
across.
Works for me. Okay. So, you know.
Okay. And better yet, we also have, like, this is for everyone listening. This is Vacation Kylie right now, which is like, I love it. She's like, she's got this house that she's away with the family. I love the background of wherever you are. It looks beautiful.
Yeah. So one of the guest rooms. Yeah. Eva and I were texting before we started recording, and I was like, okay, I'm running 5 minutes late because I'm still sitting in this giant fancy bathtub.
Yeah.
Living the spotlight. Which, let me just say, guys, I highly recommend getting fired and then spending 2 weeks on vacation. It's great.
Yes. Own it, girl. I love this.
Yep. That's just like the way the universe planned it for me. The vacations were scheduled at Christmas time. And then, you know, that's just, which is funny. I will say that's been the one thing for me. I, you know, left my job and, you know, instantly felt this huge pressure to be like, okay, and ready, set, go, hustle, hustle, hustle. And yet, like, I couldn't because I was in Maine with bad cell phone reception, or I was like, you know, on vacation, or like all these things, or I screwed up my schedule and like missed appointments with people. And so all of these things transpired, or people canceled on me. That's like forced me to have these 2 weeks of like not being in hustle mode, which I have resisted. Like, I have gone kicking and screaming into like vacation relaxing mode.
Which is funny, the universe had other plans for you.
Yeah, exactly. And every time I'd be like, and every time I'd like kind of like settle in and tap into my inner wisdom and like, or go into the record and be like, hey, what do I need to know for my business? And the answer was like, just stop, just fucking stop, you know?
Yeah.
Only without the swearing, that's my editorial. And I think now, like, spa bathtub Kylie has finally.
Oh my God. But also, I'm so happy to hear that, because I get it. I understand. I think this, the stress, like the worry, like that's valid, you know, all of that. You're like, you know, you're in a transition in life. We're also, you know, doing your own business, like all of that stuff is real. But I'm just like noticing the difference now with how it was a month ago when you were like, you just had so much going on, you know, like,
yeah.
And as a reminder, I think it can be helpful to hear, you were like, and also I cannot wait to get out of this job. Like, that was,
oh yes.
That was like a repeat theme that kept coming up. And now I'm like, now I'm getting this full version of Vacation Kylie, and I love it.
Well, and that's like, cause I was just so like, I could tell that the pace, I couldn't continue the pace, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, someone's going to go and my vote is the job, you know?
Yeah.
And I was longing for a break, because, you know, like, you run a marathon and then you like rest afterwards. You don't run a marathon and then like run another, you know, 5K. I mean, some people do, to go like rescue their friend who's about to quit or whatever. But you get my metaphor. Like, you know, it was time. It's been time to like actually settle in. And I think, like, you know, we do this podcast about spirituality. My work is like very much about like the importance of connecting to our like true selves and like remembering that we're part of the universe and our own power and all of this. And so like, it's this driving force in my life. It's the engine behind, like it's my why for this mm-hmm. business. And it's so funny because it's taken me 2 weeks to be like, oh, right. Like I had gotten so far away from actually living the importance of being in the present moment. You know, like yeah. I had like, I intellectually, if someone was like, what's the most important spiritual belief for you? I could rattle them off all day long, mm-hmm. but I had slipped out of living it for a while because I was like, oh, I have all these things going on and I'll get to it and I'll fix it. And then also I had this like thing that we do where we pin in the future. It's like, well, once my job is gone, you know, because I knew I was moving towards doing this full time. Once my job is done, then all this time will open up and like, I'll just return to being in the present moment, you know, then the present lives in the future, right?
Right.
And then my job, you know, then I lost my job. And the last thing I wanted to do was stop, right? Like mm-hmm. I was just still like so intent. And like all of these messages were like, Kylie, stop. Just like take some deep breaths, meditate, be present. And I just was like, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. So it's just like I just wasn't living. I mean, I wasn't living like this super inauthentic life where I was like lying to myself or anything, but I just wasn't fully, you know, there was a level deeper that is more fulfilling. That is like what actually matters to me that I was putting off for the future. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I do feel like these past 2 weeks of all these things of like kind of really being forced through the luxury of vacation. And like, in particular, a vacation with little kids, right? Where like, mm-hmm. you know, you can't be on your phone and like emailing mm-hmm. that much or whatever else. Anyway, like the other morning I woke up early and went down to the beach near where we are and I was meditating and I like brought this book that I'm reading and there were all these osprey because there's like a whole bunch of osprey that live near where we are on vacation. And mm-hmm. like, you guys know me and hawks and ospreys and eagles. I'm like, you know, it's me and the universe. So it just was like this amazing experience. And I like just sat there and was like still and silent for a long time. And I just feel like I'm like coming home to myself, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm grateful. I'm just grateful for the return. So that's kind of my big.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Okay. So I have an observation, a couple of questions, but yeah. I think you kind of talked about it, but like for anyone who's listening, who may be able to relate to your situation. I think what I want to know is like, how do you think you got back to, it sounds like you like, it's this idea of coming home to yourself, coming back to the present moment, coming back to what's important. What do you think helped get you back? Cause you could still easily be like running in circles, yeah. doing the grind or like whatever. So it sounds like pre-planned vacation was helpful, but was it like yeah. something else like mentally where you, cause you said you kept getting signs. So what eventually was like, okay, yes, I have to just listen mm-hmm. to those signs.
I think the big thing, oh God, okay, this is something that I was like, I have to talk to Eve about this. So I think the big thing is actually that I have been meditating more, but mm-hmm. that's been like a big thing for me. And I'm laughing because we were like, what should we talk about on the podcast? And I like forgot. This is such a huge thing that I wanted to talk to you about. Uh-huh. So you know that meditation is something that I I'm always striving to do with more consistency. Like that's literally how we first connected. Mm-hmm. And part of it is like, I'm just not a structure person. Mm-hmm, yeah. So I'm not really good at like 6 a.m. every day. Mm-hmm. This is what I do. Right. Mm-hmm. But also like, I know I had this resistance to like really committing to meditation, and which is interesting because we've been talking recently about, you have this resistance to like really kind of like diving into this like mystical stuff,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Cause it feels like there's this like power there that you're like, whoa, I don't know about this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So last week I was meditating and I realized, oh my fucking God, I have the resistance to meditation for the exact same reason.
Oh my God. Wow. I'm just laughing because we both have resistance to the other thing that the other person right? is so big on.
Right, which is like almost if you believe in synchronicity for
me. Yeah. Right? I love this. What a funny realization. Yeah. But also I think on the nose.
Yeah. Like I was sitting there and I could feel like just that when you are like just the power of being in the present moment and like the intensity of the experience that is available when we like really slip into the, which I've had like moments of like really truly being present and like aware of how like powerful and profound and intense it can be. But I just had this awareness, which I'd had before, but it comes in waves of just like, oh, if I really let myself, I can be here more often and the whole fucking world, the whole game changes from that place. And that's terrifying. Maybe I like my noisy mind. And I was like, you know, like doing a crab walk back.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm getting like choked up. I'm having one of those moments where I'm hearing something and it, you know, I feel like it's important. Like I know when I have a physical reaction, that's how I know it's important. But I think I'm just hearing you say that, I think I know what experience you're talking about. That sort of that experience of like, oh, wait, like when we're still, we get to experience who and what we really are. And like, I can't, yeah. I don't have words for it, right? Because language doesn't do it, but it's like, oh, I get to experience who and what I am. And yeah. It's such a beautiful experience. So I think that's why I'm getting emotional, because those are the moments for me personally, anyway, when I've really understood when people are like, oh, you're a soul and a material body, or like you're a being, yeah. or you're a consciousness. And those are all just like labels that we put on things so that we can intellectually understand them, but we can't understand them until we actually experience it.
Yeah.
And like, I think meditation can offer us just a glimpse into that experience of like, oh, what is it that I am? Like, I think this is the thing that I always come back to whenever I get really freaking stressed out about something, is like, I think, oh, that's just like the, that's the identified like Eva me, but I feel groundedness within me because I've experienced that being
yes.
enough yes. times that I know like, that's what I really am.
Yes. 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 Like, you know, like it's like Homeward Bound, like Sassy, like
the movie,
and the crew. Yes. The movie.
I haven't seen that in a really long time, so you're gonna have to remind me. Wait, but Sassy the cat?
Sassy's the cat. Okay. I don't remember the other one's name. Okay. Do you?
No.
I barely remember the movie. Sassy and crew knew where they were going. They knew what home was, so they could just follow it. So even when they were getting porcupine quills to the face, wow, I remember a lot of this movie times. They knew that home was a real thing that they could follow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's so beautiful. No, that's so beautiful. All right. I mean, that's,
yeah.
So that's something in terms of like the slowing down or coming back to what's most important. So meditation, you think is helpful, has been helpful.
Yeah. I think cultivating stillness, which meditation is obviously a part of, and also like, you know, taking a bath or like taking a few moments to like actually read a book or like just getting out of doing mode and into being mode, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you think, okay, so I think oftentimes the fear that people have about being mode, myself included, is like, oh, but if I get into being mode, I'm just going to be like a lazy couch potato. I'm not going to do anything and my whole life is going to fall apart. Like we don't trust ourselves. We do not trust ourselves or yeah. the flow of life. And we've been taught to just doubt ourselves. So my question is, as someone now who's had a chance to, you know, you have the choice of being super stressed out, which would be understandable by any measure, but like as someone who's coming back into presence, how do you think that's affecting you?
So for me, the number one thing, like I'm a procrastinator and I always have been, like when I was in high school and college, I wrote every single paper that I thought it was due. Mm-hmm. Always got A's on them. Always
yeah, so they still managed to get A's. Due. Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. never, you know, would pull like religious all night, like, always pulled all nighters in college. But the reason for that was because I had so much like perfectionist anxiety that I needed the pressure of the deadline to just get out of my own way enough to write. Mm-hmm. And actually like every once in a while when I would manage to write a paper, not at the last minute, those didn't get A's because I was too in my head. Right. Mm-hmm. So there was something about the pressure of the deadline. I was like an academic skydiver.
Uh-huh. Love it.
Where was I going with that? So like for me, the number one thing that gets in my way of that, like I've got 1,000 ideas, right? The thing that gets in the way from executing them sometimes is logistics of like having a busy life. But most of the time it's my own anxiety, which makes it just really hard for me to take action, right? So I like spend, I'll have an hour to work and I'll spend 40 minutes of it writing a to-do list. Mm-hmm. Or I will like sit down to like write content for the week and I spend like half an hour like rethinking the first five words because mm-hmm. I'm just like, is this good enough? Is this good enough? And so my ego just takes over.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised though, because that's me. Really? That's like me. And I feel like you've always struck me as like a get it done kind of girl. You're like, get it done. Oh,
that's really funny. I think of you as a get it done kind of person.
I'm the overthinker here though. I'm the overthinker, right? That's how I think
we are both overthinkers though. Fair, like really, fair. I don't think there's a Hello Universe cast member who's not an overthinker.
Yeah. Okay.
My That's kids, so they can be our resident non-overthinkers. I feel like
it's so funny how we also, how other people, you know, how we see ourselves is also,
perceive.
Yeah, how different.
Yeah.
Perceive us, yeah.
No, that's really true. I think in particular, I definitely, I was trying to think if there's a space that I'm not a procrastinator, but I don't think it exists.
You know, I always think that like moms have this sort of really special get it done superpower, because at some point when you become a mom, you're like, oh, I realize I only have this much time, and it forces you into action sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yes, that is definitely true. One of the biggest leaps forward with my procrastination definitely came once my kids were born, because I was just like, oh, if I don't do this now, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's definitely true. Like I laugh because I'm like, what if I'd started a business before I had kids? Like, what would I like? But I wouldn't have used the time any different. You know what I mean? So I do think that that's definitely true. But to answer your initial question about like, if I'm in being mode, will I just like stay in the bath all day? No, cause I don't have one at my own house, but, but also I think for me, when I slip into being mode, that like chatter and fear that like really blocks my ability to execute, it dissipates. Mm-hmm. Right. And so like I can actually sit down, and if I'm really grounded into being mode, in an hour I can write content for the mm-hmm. week, you know. Mm-hmm. In an hour I can do that big project that I'm excited about. But if I'm not grounded into my being, I'll just spin around like a top for the whole time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So that was bit of a leading question, because I've had a feeling that was going to be your answer. And I wanted to be like, see, guys, see, like, this is something that I talked to. I mean, this is something that I have had to learn over and over again. And like what I talk to my clients about is also like, no, this stuff is an investment actually in getting stuff done. It's you're not going to end up being like most of the time when we end up spending like too much time on Netflix eating like potato chips, it's because we're resisting, like when it's gone overboard, you know, like when it's because we're avoiding.
Right? Or it's because we are so like running on empty mm-hmm. that we have crashed and we like need the Netflix and the potato chips. Like, you know, it would be, maybe there's another version of self-care that would be accessible, but we're doing that because it's like, I don't have anything else. Like I have to just sit here and watch Netflix all day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can be avoidance, but I think it can also be like,
just truly burned out.
The crash.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think that like, but I do think that being in the present moment addresses both of those things. And that like,
yes.
Yeah. And that
I think, mm-hmm. sorry, go ahead.
Oh, just no, that was it. It addresses both those things.
It's funny. I think my fear about being in the present moment has less to do with like, if I let myself stop, I'll be a lazy bum who won't do anything. I think it's more, I don't like, I'm running from myself.
Mm.
Like I know when I stop, there's stuff I have to wade through that is like my own chatter or like shame that's going to pop up or whatever it is that I just know, like in order to get to the being that feels really good, I have to kind of sit through some of the like ickier stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not always like super dark and painful, but it's usually not
annoying.
Like instant sunshine. So I think I don't think I'm afraid that I won't get anything done. I think I'm afraid of what is asked of me in order to get to the place where it feels, does that make sense?
Yeah. And so how have you addressed that this time?
Well, I think that's what the first like week and a half of like, you know, has been. Like I've just been honestly like just like a pinball machine in my mind of like, you know, just like I mean, to be totally honest, just like running numbers, you know, just like making up all these different scenarios of like, okay, and this is gonna happen this way. Okay. And I'm just like creating these like all these perfect different versions of how things work out. Like I'm building a model constantly. It's like, okay, here's one model. Okay. That one works. Okay. Here's another model. Okay. That works. Here's one model. That one really doesn't work. Shit. You know? And like, and that's just honestly mostly what I've just been obsessively in my head doing, and then being like, you should really stop doing this. Oh, let's go build another model. And I think, again, because I had the space to, you know, like my parents live across here from the lake. And so I spent a lot of time going and like swimming with my kids and like, you know, going, so my parents live in this really beautiful part of Maine. So like sitting outside in beautiful nature. And like now we're in Cape Cod. So like I'm just getting tons of like time in nature, which is really helping. Mm-hmm. And I'm just getting a lot of time with my kids. And then I also think the truth is, even though I have this new stress of like, you know, is this going to work? Which is like, it's just funny because I'm not actually worried that it's not going to work, but we can talk about it if we want to, but I was really overwhelmed and maxed out and running on empty. Mm-hmm. And so there is a huge weight that has been lifted because that job wasn't a good fit anymore. And because I was just doing too many fucking things. Mm-hmm. And so I actually, even though I was running away from it for a while, and you know, I probably still am, it's not like resolved, but it is a lot easier for me to like logistically find time to be quiet when I, you know, I'm not doing 8,000 things in the day. I'm just doing 5,000, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, totally.
I don't want to ignore that piece of it.
But you were saying that like getting quiet was uncomfortable because then you have to like deal with the icky stuff that's there sometimes. Mm. I guess my question was like, has that icky stuff arised and how have you?
Yes. But like always, it's not as bad. It's like, it's always worse than the idea, right?
Yeah.
You can see Eva's knowing smile right now.
Well, no, also because we're human beings. So every human being knows exactly what you're talking about. It's never as bad when you actually do it. Then you're like, oh, that thing that I thought was going to take me 2 days took me 10 minutes.
Yep.
It's that same experience.
Yep. And I had this really freaking cool experience like 10 days ago where I basically did for myself what I do for clients in the records. It's always harder to do healing for yourself, I think, which is why like healers need healers. But I did for myself the thing that I do with clients where I went like really deep and I did this healing and like, did I mention this in the last? I mentioned it in my Akashic Records course, but and then like later that day, I thought I had a UTI, but it was because like I'd cleared so much energy.
Oh,
that
my
body
you did talk about
like,
this. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyway, like there's things like that I've been able to, I've created space to do, which has been really cool. To like actually be in healing mode and be in receiving mode, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Well, I mentioned earlier, I had an observation and the last thing I want to say about that is that I also just want to remind you that it's only been 2.5 weeks,
yeah,
which is like bananas because I think it's so helpful to hear that perspective because I want to remind you or anyone who's listening, who's going through a transition is that like, especially in the beginning, the point I'm trying to make is that you just went from going, having a full-time job to being, you know, to running your own business and technically, you know, not employed by that same employer anymore. So that's like a big transition. A lot of times when people get like laid off or whatever, it could take months. Like,
yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, but sometimes it just takes months to like get into a groove of a new life or whatever, whatever. And like, we totally forget that. And it's been so little time. I think you're doing like such an amazing job of just like going with the flow and like figuring it out and all that stuff. It's really been so little time because the body and the mind needs time to adjust and flow. And I think you seem to be doing that really fucking well.
I think I was just so ready. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think I wanted this so badly, meaning to work for myself, that I feel like, okay, like this is what you wanted. So like, let's do it, you know, let's show up fully for whatever it is. But also I think I'm feeling right now, like I've found I remember what the anchor is, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not feeling like, oh, and now I live in the present moment.
Yeah.
But I remembered like, oh, right. the important thing is to ground myself in presence. And I like remembered like in my body what that feels like. Mm-hmm. So I've it's like the touchstone was like buried under a lot of dirt and sand. And so now I have my touchstone again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that feels really awesome. So I don't want to give anyone the impression that I'm like, have like the tornado has stopped and I'm not spinning like a top or anything. Yeah, I think that it's just, I remember what home is supposed to feel like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. So, yeah. And that you can remember that it's actually a pretty safe place.
That's a good one. Yes. We're so afraid of the present moment because we think it's not going to be safe because we're carrying trauma or because our minds don't shut up or we haven't actually spent enough time there to know how magical it is. But it's the fucking best.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
So how about you, Eva? How are you doing? What's new in your world?
Well, we talked a little bit about this before the show. I had two things I wanted to talk about. The first one is a takeaway that I've had in my own spiritual process recently. And it's nothing new. It's nothing profound, but I'm going to share it in case it's helpful for anyone who might be, who might ever experience something similar, which is that, as you guys know, so I took Kylie's Akashic Record reading course. And in that course, I felt a lot of-
Doors are open for right now. You can sign up for.
Yes. And we should talk about that at the end too.
Doors close on the 30th. Go ahead. Carry on.
That's less than 2 weeks, guys. But yeah, the course was amazing. But what was interesting for me is in the course, I noticed, Kylie had already referenced this earlier. She had resistance to being in the present moment. And I had resistance towards going into the mystical realm of like, I don't know. I don't have the language for what you might call it, but to like explore even like my own powers really is like what I think is a way of looking at like my own, I don't know. I don't even have the language for it. Like, I don't know what you do, this mystical world of, and I think that's, and I'm okay with that. I think partly what's so intriguing to me about this work is like, I don't have to necessarily intellectually understand it or like have it fit into like some kind of box, but just to understand that there are things out there that like, I do not understand, things that I can't label or that I can't capture. I can't like put them in a box in some like neatly, you know, organized pile, but there's this whole other like 4, 5, 6D realm out there. And it's like a whole land to be explored, but I've been feeling resistant to it because my resistance is simply mostly just like a fear. And you guys have probably heard me talk about this on the podcast before, you know, just this idea of like, it could just be conditioning, you know, from like past life stuff, being, you know, afraid of being like a witch being burned at the stake, blah, blah, blah. And I was taking, so I'm in part of this decolonial group where it was really interesting, actually. I was in this group. And so the woman leading it, who is amazing, what did I share with her? I shared with her something about how, I don't remember what it was that I shared. Okay, I'll just say this. I asked her a question on the call, and she also channels while she's like leading this group. And so she's like, a lot of the stuff that I'm sharing with you guys is just like kind of what they're sharing with me. And after I asked her my question or like shared something with her, she's like, okay, this is coming really strong, coming through very strongly for me right now. I don't know who needs to hear this, but she's like, but it was like, it felt like it was directed towards me because she was saying it right after we had just talked and she was saying it in response to my question. She was like, the truth is like, there are dark spirits out there. She's like, whatever you want to call them, there are dark spirits out there. And she's like, but you have to remember that your fear feeds the darkness. Like your fear is simply just food for anything out there that it is that you're afraid of. And it doesn't have to be, even if you're not into like the whole like mystical belief that there are quote unquote dark spirits. The truth is any fear that you have, you feed it with more fear. It is literally food for your fears. And I realized that that's what I was doing by being afraid of stepping into this, like this power or this new way of like experimenting with spirituality. I was going in tiptoeing, just like a scared little tiny girl who was like really resistant and letting the fear actually like play a huge role. And I was like, and it was so interesting. Like, this is something that they teach you in like the Disney movies, right? It's like, we all know this on an intellectual level, like fear is fueled by more fear. It just makes the monster in the closet get bigger and bigger and bigger. But once you stop fearing it and you say, hey, I'm not afraid of you anymore, it's like turning on the light in a dark room. It makes the darkness go away, right? And yes. light is equivalent to love. It's the same thing. It's like, so when you show up with a type of love to say, either like, I'm not afraid of you, or I'm afraid of you, but like, I'm going to be here anyway, because I'm not going to let it dictate my actions.
Yeah. Elizabeth Gilbert always talks about fear being in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And I caught that a lot. Like, we can't turn off a way that we feel, mm-hmm. but we can say like, okay, fear, like, I see that you're there, but you're not in charge of this. So totally. Just like chill out back there.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. And it's like, you know, how people say, feel the fear and do it anyway. Or, mm-hmm. Because eventually if you do that consistently enough, the fear does get smaller and smaller. Yeah. But it really was just like, oh, whatever. It was just a helpful reminder for me, whether it's like I'm reading the records or taking psychedelics or doing ayahuasca or however I want to continue this, like to deepen my spiritual growth and exploration. I have to remember that fear feeds the monster in the closet. And it's like, yes. it loves it. It's like waiting for you to be there to be like, yeah, give me more. But that was just like such a relief for me to be like, oh, of course, my job is to show up in love.
So I'm thinking about, my son has entered the phase now where like sometimes he comes down the stairs tonight and he's like, I'm scared. And sometimes he's actually scared and sometimes he's like drawing out bedtime. But
totally. I used to do that
yeah.
to you.
Yeah. And I can tell a difference, but I'm like, oh, you know, it feels more important to empower him. So we do this thing where we turn all the lights on in his room and then we look around his room and we go like, is there something scary under your bed? Mm-hmm. And then we look and then we like make it this kind of game. Like, is there a monster behind your chair? And like, sometimes they'd be like, I don't know. And I'm like, come on, like we'll move the chair. Go look. And anyway, and like, then we're laughing. And then the other thing that I did, cause I was like, okay, like your mom's a mystic. Like I don't talk to my kids about this that much because I think Birdie's too little. She says like 40 words and Desi is more, it's more important to him when it's like something that he can experience. Like he's not interested in talking about stuff. So I went and I had these like this strand of dried rose petals that were like tied on a string. And so I like brought that in. It was like from some yoga teacher training thing. So I brought that in and I was like, these are magical flowers. And we like waved them around the whole room. And then I was like, we're going to hang this by the door. And that means that only people and energy that you want to come in can come in. So only good monsters that you want in, right? So it was like this whole big thing.
Oh, I love this, Kylie.
Right? I was like, I'm the best mom. Of course, like 5 minutes later, he came out of bed and Nick was like, I'll get it. But I do still believe it. And like every once in a while, he'll be like, where are the roses, mom? And the reason I'm telling this whole story is one, because I think it's cute, but two, maybe you do a version of this, right? Mm. Like maybe you enter your records, if that feels like the space, and you like do a little kid, like turn on all the lights and you're like, come on monster. Like, let's see what's actually behind the chair. That might be like a helpful ritual for you to kind of claim that like, this is a safe thing that you get to do.
Yeah, that's super helpful. I love that idea. And hearing you say that.
We can do it together if you want.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I can be your mom in the record.
Sign of a good friend, a good friend. Yeah. It's just funny because again, all the spiritual teachings always lead back to the same thing, but, which is a good thing. I think that's always like a sign that, you know, there are some universal truths here, but like, this is the same thing as what the Buddha says about inviting Mara in for tea, which is like, Mara is like representative of all the dark and bad things. And the Buddha is always like, oh yeah, your job is to invite her in and be like, hey, what's up? And like, let's have a conversation. But it is just very strange. What feels really cool to me about this is that it can feel visceral. So like, fear, I know what fear feels like in my body and it feels tight and it can feel it in my gut, in my stomach, in my chest, in my throat, like those sorts of things. And love to me feels like so warm
and
cozy and strong. And it's like, it's a helpful reminder sometimes just to get out of my head to be like, showing up to anything that I'm scared with, like just in my body with a sense of love.
Yeah. And I do think it's possible to feel a level of love, either in a spiritual or in a like, you know, tangible way that feels expansive in a way that actually makes us feel a little bit afraid. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I do think there's good fear and then there's bad fear. Is that what you mean?
No, what I mean is like, sometimes I think that as we are ever expanding, because I do kind of think that's our role, like, so like our heart is ever expanding. We're kind of like in this body to experience an opening. And I do think, I kind of think of it as like the space of our heart is ever opening. And then we get to the kind of the limits, our own imposed limits sometimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we are pushing beyond, like, for example, like becoming a mom for me is something where like all of a sudden, like I am experiencing love in ways that are totally like I would instantly like throw myself in front of traffic for my kids. Mm-hmm. Right. Like without even a thought. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, there's other people I'd probably do that for, but I'd at least think about, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, totally. Yeah. Yeah. With your kids, right? It's instinctual. It's just like,
it's just like the, you know, the other day, my son was, on my brother's a fisherman. And he was like on my brother's boat. And he was like cozying up to, I've just never seen my son so happy. He was like all cuddled up with my brother and they were on the boat and they were, and I just started like, sobbing, standing on the other end of the boat, just like sobbing of like how happy my son is with my brother, right? Like, I don't have a lot of experiences outside of motherhood of like observing someone else's happiness and just like sobbing, right? Yeah. So it's like a level of love that for me pushes at the boundaries of like what I had previously known. And so there's something really beautiful there, but there's also something like very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. because it's like almost like new skin or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like, I just think a lot of postpartum like depression and anxiety is actually about that process and mm-hmm. how little space we make for that transformation.
Mm.
But I think we experience this in all sorts of ways. Motherhood's just an easy example, but I think it's far from the only one. But I think when we're in that space, when we're like expanding our threshold for love, because it's kind of this extra vulnerable kind of new skin state, there can be a desire to kind of retreat and like lock back into fear.
Totally.
And we have an invitation to stay in that discomfort, which is a discomfort of love.
Right. Because there's a reward, and that's where, that's who and what we really are and all these things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And because then our bound, then we also expanded our threshold, right? Then now it's, you know, now then that new skin becomes like hardier,
right? Well, that becomes
actually an uncomfortable place to be.
Totally. Yeah, you can hold more space for all of it. Yeah.
Yes.
That's kind of what I meant by there's a good fear and a bad fear, as in like people are often like, you know, sometimes in coaching they'll be like, a lot of what we talk about is how to act from love and not from fear. And then they'll be like, but I want to do this thing that I love. I want to become, you know, I want to follow my passion is like working in marine biology, but that feels scary. I'm like, oh no, that's good fear. Like,
oh, I
like
see.
It's coming from a place of love, but so much of when we're doing things that feel really loving, it feels scary. And I think it's just helpful. I just wanted to point that out because I think,
yeah.
I think there is good fear and there is bad fear.
How do you distinguish between good and bad fear?
I think it's like,
'cause I think sometimes it can be hard to know the difference.
Yeah. I think one of the like tell alls is really how it feels in your body. Like you can tell, like, how does it feel? Safe and expansive and good. Like, even if you're exploring your mission is one, do you want to like explore marine biology and that feels really scary? Like, it's scary, but if you checked in with yourself, you're like, but actually that's where my heart lies. Like that's scary for me to do that. But I try to recommend people don't, and this can be hard when you're new to it, but like, don't try and think about it with your head. Like, go into your body and like notice how it feels. And people will be like, oh, but I'm not connected to my body, which I can understand because that's what I thought at one point too, that I'm not in touch with my body. But that is actually, your body is so wise. It's so smart. And if you can like just give a little bit of space to pay attention, that intuition that like it's, you'll, I think it'll be, you, people catch on so much faster than they think.
Because so like, you've been getting the messages all along. Yeah. You just haven't been tuning into them. Sometimes I think too, it can be helpful to like, ask your body, like, okay, you have a pet that you really love. Like feel into your body what it feels like to love your pet. Like, pick something that's like not super loaded and complicated. So like, I wouldn't recommend like picking like
your partner.
Boyfriend.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. Right. 'Cause like, but like your pet or like your grandmother, like these figures, there are figures I think we all have who mm-hmm. some of them, like, it's just a less complicated experience of love. And like, from like, pick a memory around that person or figure and feel in, or an experience, like a place in nature, like, and feel into your body, like, what happens for me when I'm like floating on the lazy river that I love? Like, what does that feel like?
Right.
And then when you have that as a touchstone, then ask yourself the question about mm-hmm. like, should I study marine biology and what does my body have to say about it? Because it'll give you a little bit of a reference point.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think that, I think, I mean, you're asking a good question. It can be hard to tell, but I think that's because that's the work. Like the work is, wisdom is being able to tell the difference between love and fear. So I think the instruction is easy. It's like, oh, choose love over fear. But
yeah,
to do it, I think that's where, that's what enlightenment is. It's like, oh, to be able to know and to have the wisdom and the life experience to be like, oh, I know what love feels like in my body. So it may not, also, if it doesn't come right away, that's normal because we're all on this path of trying to understand like what does love mean for us. And sometimes it only comes with experience. But
yeah,
I do think the physical tell is a big one. And I also think it's just like, what's your, like you can tell by the intention behind it. Like, are you doing this out of love or fear? Not like, not romantic love, you know what I mean? Like universal love. Yeah. So like another client of mine recently was like, well, I need to like, she wanted to like break up with this person or no, they have a difficult conversation with like the part with the person that she was with. And she was like, but she's like, but this is going to hurt him. And this is going to be, and that doesn't feel loving. I'm like, yeah, but are you doing it out of love or are you doing it out of fear? Like, are you having this difficult conversation? It's going to be hard, but like, is it coming from a loving place? And she was like, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And if sometimes the loving thing for yourself does mean someone will get hurt, right? Sometimes you're like, you have to leave a relationship because that's the loving thing for yourself. And someone might be hurt by that.
Yeah.
And so I think our responsibility is to try to do it in the most loving way, right? Like not string someone on this, that, but like staying, like not saying something because we don't want to hurt somebody else means you're perhaps hurting yourself.
Well, it's not so loving.
It's not loving.
It's not. Exactly. It's truly not, like in the universal term of love. Yeah, it's not like
you're set to sacrifice yourself.
Well, it's not loving for the other person either. Like, I don't want someone else to not tell me something because they think they're going to hurt me. Because you're like, oh, that's not. I'm like, no, just the truth is love. Like, tell me the truth because that ultimately is like the most loving thing. And like, don't like treat me like I'm fragile and keep the truth from me. Like, that's because ultimately you might think you're doing it for me, but you're also doing it for you.
Because like you, yeah, I forget what my aunt was just like an exclamation mark of like, yeah, because then also you're like, you're living. I also have this theory. I mean, I just said it a minute ago. Basically, I think our job is to expand. And I think we have moments in our life all the time where we can choose to make ourselves bigger or smaller, right? Yeah. Which is to say like constrict and like close in and make a choice of fear or like make a choice that stretches us, which is another like way of thinking love versus fear. But sometimes those words are so loaded that sometimes this like small versus big is helpful for me. And so if there's like an expansive conversation that needs to be had, like, you know, that's just that question I like to ask myself sometimes, like, am I doing this or not doing this? Like, it is the invitation here for me to get bigger or smaller. And what does it look like, you know, whichever one I choose. Yeah. And I think avoiding difficult conversations with people is a choice to stay small.
Yeah.
And so and so then the thing is going to come up again. That was my big and that I forgot for a minute. Like, it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know, like then it just turns into resentment and then like it's explosive or, you know, whatever the thing is, like it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then, and then you feel shitty and you're like, and then that's not love either. Like the whole time. So like, something I've been thinking about a lot recently is like, I really do believe that like my peace and I've been saying some version of this for so long now, but I've just been in my list of notes and thoughts I was telling you about, like I have this deep thoughts list that I carry around with me. Is that like,
Is my favorite thing in the world. Just so the listeners know. He was like, don't you have one? I was like, no, but I want one now.
Yeah. Well, it's a blessing and a curse for sure.
Please come into the Facebook group and tell us if you also have a deep thoughts list. I need to know how much of the percentage of the population has one.
Or maybe just of our listeners. I feel like it might be higher amongst our listeners.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But the thought is just simply that like my peace is the biggest gift that I can give anybody.
Yes, and
that's what I mean. Like, to me, I'm like, that seems obvious, but I also think that some people could hear that and be like, that seems selfish. Like, and I'm like, and that's what I mean. That's the whole thing. It's like, that's going to determine, I think, how you see your role in the world and how much effect you have on other people and what you think you're supposed to be doing. But I truly firmly believe that like our peace is our number one priority, and that is the biggest gift that we give to other people.
I totally had a lightning bolt moment, which is when you earlier we were talking about if I slip into being mode, I won't be productive, and that mm-hmm. being a fear. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't think that's my fear. And I actually am realizing right now that my fear is that in being mode, I'm selfish. Not afraid that the things won't get done, but I am afraid that if I slip into being mode, that I will only act for what I need, and what I need will somehow be inherently selfish, and that I won't like show up lovingly for the people in my life, or I don't know. But yeah, it's selfishness is the fear, not laziness.
Okay. I love this so much because, okay, so Tom recently said something to me. I want to read it to you, and I want to know what you think. I actually wrote
Tom
this down.
Tom is one of Eva's spiritual teachers.
Yes, yes.
Context.
And this is his definition. We were talking about selfishness, and I want to know what you think. He's like, can you find one thing in your life so far that wasn't in some way about you? Can you find one thing in your life so far that wasn't in some way about you?
No.
Yeah. No. That is my perception, like how I see selfishness. And again, I get into the selfish mode, like mm-hmm. the guilt yeah. trip, but this has drastically shifted my perception of like selfishness. Like, it's like, if we're really honest with ourselves, I think that's the truth. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because we can only ever live from the perception of our own two eyes, from our perspective. There is no other world but our world. Even as I sit here having the conversation with you, you are the main character in this story. I am the main character in this right. story. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's
just, and there are actually two stories, right?
Yeah. Everyone is just walking around in their own story. And I don't think that's bad. I think that's natural. That's how, like, if there were a God, that's what consciousness is. That's what the kind of, you know, consciousness he's given us, that we all see things from our own two eyes. And so, you know, even as a mother who is like, I think this is a example, because, you know, mothers are known to be genuinely sometimes very selfless because they're caring for their children. But it's still what you're, it's like you're doing it because in your perspective, it's the best thing to do.
Yeah. The well, and also the abnegation of the self is totally an ego move, right? It's it's just a little bit different than what you're saying, but like to be like, oh, like, see, everyone needs me because I take care of everybody. Mm. It's a way of, we can abnegate the self as a way of really shoring up our ego. It's like, this is right. one of those powerful ways of making our ego feel totally. Very deeply rooted in control.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, and I don't even think, like, intellectually I am on board with that I'm not selfish, but I just realized, like, when you were talking about laziness mm-hmm. and I was like, that just doesn't resonate with me as, like, that's not my primary fear.
Yeah.
But I, as you were talking, I was like, oh, that's because I'm afraid that I'm selfish.
Yeah.
So it's just helpful to like,
to notice, be aware.
To notice that and be aware that that's the thing that needs some attention, you
right.
know,
right.
Is this, yeah, fear of selfishness.
And I think the reason I brought up that quote is because I'm like, I guess it's to say two things, that you taking, I mean, this is an ongoing conversation that I think we both struggle with, which is like taking yeah. care of yourself is not selfish, right? Like doing right. the thing that is like ultimately going to make you happy, I don't think is selfish, because like I was saying, I also think your happiness is the biggest gift that we give other people, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like saying the same thing. So it's not selfish, but also I'm kind of trying to flip it on our head and be like, ooh, maybe it is selfish, because maybe everything that we do is quote selfish, and we can like demystify or destigmatize what selfishness is mm-hmm. like, because the truth is, if we're all honest with ourselves, we all only ever can do things from our own perspective. And maybe that's just like not such a bad thing.
Yeah. Although like there are definitely like asshole things that people do for themselves. And yeah, then there yeah. are like, so yes, I see what you're saying, which is like, what I hear you saying is like, is there an option that's not selfish? Perhaps not. Mm-hmm. Like perhaps all options are selfish, but also like, you know.
No, yeah, you're right. There are some
Donald
seriously
Trump is
self-
more selfish.
Right.
Than me, right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. No, you're right. There's
side note. Just because I need to brag about this. The other day, I don't think we've ever shown him a picture, just shown my son a picture of Donald Trump. The other day, my son saw a picture of him and goes, "That's a bad man."
Oh my gosh.
That's
Whoa.
A bad guy. That's what he said. That's a bad guy. Because he's really into like Spider-Man and bad guys. And also hilariously, okay, so for those of you who know Spider-Man, Doc Ock is a bad guy. But my son does, my son has decided that his, one of his Spider-Man, my son pretends to be Spider-Man, one of his superpowers is that he like gives people hugs and makes them good guys. So my son and my husband play.
So cute.
My husband's always Doc Ock because now that Spidey's made Doc Ock a good guy. Anyway. I don't, right? It's pretty great. Anyway, also, Desi like saw a picture of Trump and said, "That's a bad guy."
That's like amazing to me because I'm like, whoa, is that like some kid third eye shit right there?
Right? That's kind of what I feel like because I'm like, has anyone talked to him? Because we don't even really, I don't even really talk to him about Donald Trump because I'm like, I mean, we do a little bit, but I'm more interested in teaching him like bigger picture things than pinning it on like Donald Trump is a villain and more like people are selfish in the world and it's our job to like,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Which is interesting, right? That's the word that I use with him is selfish. And yeah. Here I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I hear what you're saying. I think, so this is where I think language gets confusing and it's like all semantics or whatever. But I think generally the idea is like, if we were all, I don't think if like we all just were free, like truly free and were honest and direct, like just super honest with people. Yes, I do want to do this. No, I don't want to like be on your email list or go to your party. Like, no, I don't. Like if we were just honest with each other, I don't know, man. I think that would actually ultimately be like a much healthier world to live in.
Well, this is something that one of our very first, I think it was our first ever interview with Caroline Corcoran. We talked about this, right?
Right.
And
we
used the example of like, you know, like, I'm going to butcher it now, but if you guys are interested in this topic, go back and listen. I think it's episode 2. Go back and listen to Caroline Corcoran's episode because she talks about this so, I think, masterfully, this idea that like we do all these things out of this obligation to not let people down. But if we free ourselves from it being an obligation and let it come from like a place of like what we are actually desiring to do, it's much more authentic and also like free from manipulation and therefore a lot more powerful.
Yeah, you're right. What a good memory. Yep.
Yeah. I remember it because it really like, it's something that I really like chewed on for a while. Like just her simple phrasing and questions were really important for me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Cause obviously this is an issue that I'm chewing on, which I'm realizing real time. So thanks for the real time coaching.
Yeah. Well, I do think this is like, I'm really happy that we're talking about this though. Cause I think, like you said, it's helpful to be aware. And this is probably the next iteration of continued self-discovery and just this idea of like, as you continue to like pursue your passion. Yeah.
Yeah. So is that for you though? Like, is the core fear that if you let yourself really slip into present being that nothing will get done? Is that your fear? Like, is the laziness piece your fear? Or was that you were speaking about for your clients?
No, you're right. No, it's like, I actually have this fear of that, like, I'll end up being like a homeless person. Like I'll just lose everything and like go totally out of control and live this like totally reckless life. And it could be reckless from like doing nothing at all or just spending all my money in one place and a loss of everything, just that, like I can't trust myself to do the right thing. And I also think that like, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but like I had this moment of like spiritual awakening or whatever, where I was like, and then I did really feel free and I was like, I'm just gonna do whatever the fuck I want. And in those months I was kind of like, just, it was really interesting. In hindsight, what I learned from that, I was like, I thought spirituality looked a certain way. This is like, I thought like freedom looked a certain way. And I was trying to emulate, oh, what would a free person do? So interesting. And that was such a huge lesson and takeaway for me. Cause I'm like, oh no, I had this image of what freedom looked like. And then was trying to like aspire to be that, which is like a free person doesn't care. And it's just like, blah, blah. And I was like, I didn't ever check in to be like, no, what does a free Eva look like? What do I want to do as a free person? And I figured out, oh, actually free Eva does want to work sometimes. Free Eva does want to pay her bills on time. Free Eva wants to like wake up at a regular hour. Like that was like such a aha moment for me, because I was like, oh no, I've just been taught to not trust myself. And it turns out when I'm free, not only am I free, but I'm perfectly capable of living a healthy, balanced, beautiful life.
Oh my God. I love that. Fucking love that. And I think I'm also thinking of what you were talking before about how we all only have our own vantage point. And that, like, the image I have is kind of like we're all facets on this prism, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, your job is to be free Eva, because that's like the purest version of your facet. Mm-hmm. And my job is to be free Kylie, mm-hmm. which is gonna be different, right?
Yeah.
Like when you're like in your kind of liberated self, whether it's for moments or weeks or like whatever, like, and I have my moments of like liberation. Even when we're each in like a more quote unquote pure place, they're gonna be different from each other. Mm-hmm. And that they're supposed mm-hmm. to be that way, because that's what kind of makes up this like gorgeous rainbow prism of the
of humanity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what's so amazing about that is I believe that free people are really good at allowing other people to be free.
Yes.
Yeah. Like if I'm free and if you're free, we'll have no problem with each other's freedom, even if we don't agree. You know what I'm saying? Cause like we're cool with ourselves. Like it's all good. And we understand what freedom is. And it means that other people are also free to be whatever they want to be. So like, if you tell me that like, you don't want to do this podcast anymore, like, you know, like you're like, okay, if you're like, Eva, like I'm tired. I want to go. I'd be like, you're free to feel that way. And I'm feel free, whatever way I also might feel.
Right.
As a result.
Which isn't that you, which also doesn't mean that you wouldn't feel grief, but that you wouldn't feel like resentment towards me. Guys, this is a completely hypothetical thing. I'm obsessed with doing this podcast. It's not going anywhere.
Oh no, I didn't mean like not do the podcast forever. I just meant like, oh, if you're like,
I know. If our listeners were like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah, totally hypothetical. Totally hypothetical.
We're just doing that thing where we make up scenarios.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's so true, because I think like you see this in terms of like people who don't respect your boundaries are people who don't have good boundaries themselves, mm-hmm. right? If someone's out there like having great boundaries, those are always the people who are championing you when you set your boundaries, you know? Yeah. The person who's upset that you're not going to come to their birthday party, and that's like, the person who's upset that you're not going to come to their like this thing or that thing is usually someone who doesn't set or respect boundaries in their own life, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think are like really critical of other people who are really policing other people all the time, or internally policing themselves and critical of themselves.
Yes. And I want to differentiate like grief, which I think is actually like a really real genuine emotion, from like holding it against someone. Right. Mm-hmm. So like I'm having like an opening. We're in COVID times. No one's doing anything. But if I'm having like an art opening and Eva's like, you know what? I'm just not feeling it. I'm sorry. I might be sad that you're not there. And that's mm-hmm. a real emotion, mm-hmm. but I would like, be free. Like I wouldn't, it's an emotion that I recognize as my own and not actually tied to you or your responsibility.
Totally. Yeah. And I could be free to be sad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly. But it's not your responsibility. You don't need to then fix the fact that I'm sad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I like this hypothetical world.
I know. And it's like really where we're trying to get to. But again, I think it starts with me. Like this is,
Yeah.
Cause the people who, I don't know, it's interesting to be around people who are free, and you're like, you feel good around them, you know, like.
Yeah. Because I think, well, this goes back to what you were saying is like your peace is the best gift you can give. Cause I do feel like just like being in the space of someone who's like really like comfortable in their own skin gives you space to be comfortable in your own skin, you know?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. should we take our dual matching sigh as a sign that we've
come to a good place? Yeah. It's just so funny because of course at the top of the podcast I was like, I don't know what we're gonna talk about.
I was laughing about that too. Yeah, before we were recording we were like, okay, I guess I had this. And that's when Eva brought out her notebook of deep thoughts and look at what ground we covered. I love you too.
Oh, it's so good, so nourishing. It feels like medicine.
So Eva, what's something that's bringing you joy right now?
Okay, something that is bringing me joy, which I'm very, very excited to share. It's very much in the preliminary works. But as you guys know, I've been promoting how I've been talking recently about how I've been fully booked with my one-on-one coaching. And there are some people on the wait list, and I just have come to this place in my work where I'm kind of at capacity, but I still want to be able to offer things for people or other people who may not want to do one-on-one work. It just feels like such a missed opportunity that there's still so much I want to share and other ways that I want to be able to help and serve. And so I'm creating a course. It's going to be my first course ever. And it's, I'm really, really, really excited about it. Very nervous about it too, because for anyone who's ever created a course, it's like really putting your baby out like into the world in this very, for me, it feels very intimate. It feels very personal and all this stuff. So it's like, I haven't even started creating it yet. It's actually, I'm working with somebody who she's helping me create it. But I have the preliminary idea of what I think what it's going to be about. It's probably going to be a short 4-week online course. And funny enough, the first week is very much about what we have talked about in this podcast, which is focusing on your primary purpose over your secondary purpose, which is very much like an Eckhart Tolle idea. So the course is intended to be a spiritual growth course. So it's like for women who, you know, the people who I work with are generally like kind of anxious and overwhelmed, and maybe they've gotten the job or, you know, they've gotten the relationship and they're like still not happy because they're like, oh, this is it. I'm still internally suffering. And they're coming to a place in their life where they're realizing that they want to stop creating their own internal suffering and know that like the answer really is within them, their peace, their own internal peace. And so I think a huge piece of that is this idea of like, so what Eckhart Tolle says about purpose is that like most of us are focusing on our primary purpose, which is like our job, our relationship, our families, blah, 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 like all these external things. But really it comes from just being present, which is our primary purpose. Our primary purpose is just to wake the fuck up. Like that's really what it is in every moment, on a moment to moment to moment, moment basis. And it's like, I'm so excited to talk about this because I don't know, this just feels like fuels so much of the work that I do. And I think it really does reduce a lot of the suffering that people experience in the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's to give people a sense of what this course is about. Like that's going to be the very first module. And for people who just constantly feel like they're unhappy and they don't know why. And it's like, well, we can actually find happiness like now in the present moment. And yeah, choose love over fear and things like that. So creating that.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. Thanks, Kylie. I'm so excited. Yeah. It's just been like years kind of in the making. Like it's crazy because it is a lot of the stuff that my clients struggle with already. And I'm kind of just like putting it all together. It's like the culmination of that. But I think this is one of those great examples of like, this feels scary, but it's good scary. Like,
Yeah.
It's so scary to put something together for me as what, you know, because I consider myself an overthinker, but it's good scary. And yeah, it's really bringing me joy. That's it. It's like the joy of creation, the joy of the possibility and all that stuff. Yeah. So that's
me. I love that.
And what about you, Kylie? What's bringing you joy?
I'm going to say water. Water is bringing me a ridiculous amount of joy, which is to say, I mean, like, sure, drinking water is great, but but I mean, like, you know, when we were talking about like what over the past 2 weeks has allowed me this space to start returning home to myself, and it's, I kind of had the flash of these different moments, and it's soaking in the lake across the street from my parents' house. Mm-hmm. It's taking baths in this ridiculous fancy bathtub. It's swimming in the ocean or sitting in the ocean by the ocean in the morning. And like, there's always been a real through line for me of water. My dad's a fisherman, so I grew up on the ocean. My parents eventually, you know, moved up to Maine and live on a lake. Like I remember once years ago before I was even like, I was kind of in this pause in my spirituality where it just wasn't something I considered. And I remember like coming, like going out to eat somewhere and the restaurant was like on the water and it was dark. It was like, it was nighttime and I could hear the waves crashing up and I just started crying, you know, like,
wow.
In a way that really surprised me. And so like water is just like so vitally important to me. And, I've been saying
healing.
I just feel like if you're in a moment of transition or in a moment of grief or like in need of any kind of healing to like soak in water, there's just nothing better.
Oh my God, girl. Yeah. You know? You're making me super jealous right now because I'm in the desert and I'm craving water because I agree with you though. Like water is magical. It's healing. I don't know.
It's my like number one manifestation right now is, now that I manifested getting fired, next on the list is a house on a lake, because I just want to be as close as possible to water at all times.
Yes. So, and then also a side house in Sedona.
That comes next. That comes next. I got homes in all sorts of different area codes in my future. Yeah.
My future life. No, I love that though.
Water.
I'm so happy for you for that, because it just, even just hearing you talk about it makes me feel soothed.
Water's good. Also, now I'm thirsty.
Yeah, well, you were saying water's great, drinking water's great, and I was like, it is great actually, because I love drinking water.
I do. I love drinking water also. What else was I gonna say? Also, I will just give a plug, which is that I think when I'm not sure the dates, but this might be the last week when you're listening to this. Either way, doors closed for Learn to Read Akashic Records on August 30th. So if you are interested in furthering your spiritual journey in a way that involves kind of tapping into like channeling, tapping into the receiving of messages, like you want to strengthen your intuitive gifts, you want to, you know, learn how to do some kind of shamanic healing in a way that's a little like an independent study kind of, this course is great. I love it. It's the most easeful thing I've ever done. It's my favorite thing to teach, and I've been teaching in different capacities for a decade. Like, I just love it. So if you feel called to learn about the Akashic Records, if you've been curious in all these months of this podcast, when I talk about it, you're like, what exactly is that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a 4-week course. We go really deep in all these different ways that you can use the records in your own life. And there's lots of community. So if you're in the space of like, you know, so much of the journey of learning to trust our intuition is learning to like, to trust ourselves. And so having a space to share, like, is this real? Can I trust it? Mm-hmm. Is so a safe space to share that. I just think it's the number one thing that I wanted when I first started doing this work. Yeah. And I think it might actually be the secret best advantage of this course is not me, the teacher, it's me and the community as a space where you can say, this is what's happening. Can I trust it? And hearing other people go through that same journey as a way to deepen that ability to trust yourself and hold each other up.
Yeah. And just so people know, as someone who's taken the course, like you can start reading the records week one, which I think is really cool, right? Is that still going to be the thing? Cause I thought that was like amazing. It's like, you really just, I don't know. I think that like when we do things on our own, sometimes we can like fiddle faddle around and be like, I got to get it perfect or whatever. It's like, no, you just dive right in, but it's not, I don't know. You do it in a way that feels super supportive, very practical. It's like not scary at all. So I don't know, you can really learn a lot in 4 weeks. Yay. Yeah. You can literally go from not reading the records to reading the records in 4 weeks. Yeah. It was like, pretty cool.
There's some people who, cause they already had a practice doing intuitive work. There's some people who are already reading them, added them to what they do with clients after 4 weeks. You know, because that felt right. There's other people who are like, no freaking way. Mm-hmm. But you know what your own, like, what's right for you.
So get on it, y'all. It's really awesome.
Join the course. It's gonna be great.
And also find us on Facebook. Our community is growing every day. You can find us on Facebook at Hello Universe Community. Right?
Hello Universe Podcast Community.
Oh, that's Hello Universe. Yes, that's it.
Anyway, I added podcast to the title because I realized there are people in the group who were like, wait, you have a podcast?
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, we learn as we go.
Yeah, and if you like the show,
rate, review, tell us, write nice things about us.
Yes, please share with your friends. Help us grow.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We'll see you.
And follow Eva at Babbage Living on Twitter. Not Twitter. We're not on Twitter.
Can't do Twitter.
But Instagram, Babbage Living for Eva, Kylie Caldwell for me.
Perfect.
All right.
All right. Bye. Thanks for tuning in, y'all. We'll see you next week.